Here we go.
Here it is. It's the one and only kosher lamb. Okay? Control it on Shabbat. Count on it on Shabbat, approved by major poskim. Now, here is the trefa lamb. Not approved by a major poskim. I'm sorry. Here's my trefa lamb, not approved by a major poskim. But as we'll soon see, let's see, what is the kosher lamb? Yeah, it looks nice. I want to thank Mrs. Bryce for supplying the... props.
Do you move the candle somewhere else? It's making me nervous.
Okay. Yeah,
keep going back and forth with you. Thank
How's
you.
That? Okay. This is 41 and candle. Oh, here we are. So now, this is the way you turn it on, always in quotes. Oh, I'll give you the kosher lamb publicity. Hold on a second. I'll give you the kosher lamb publicity. Kosher lamb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so bad for what you got. It seems okay. There's a decent price. Everybody can take the kosher lamb PR that they send you, that they put on their website.
Which is probably
same thing, probably. Okay. Sent it out. Although somebody should tell them that the internet is us there. The lamp, I mean, might be much there, but the internet is us there.
Selling it, this is okay.
Okay. Kolo Arechim Toronto. Yeah. Yeah, it's right down there. Take that. Kolo Arechim Toronto. I was asked by Rabbi, see the bottom of the page? This is from their website. I was asked by Rabbi Shmuel Zephyr concerning an electric lamp he invented called kosher lamp. With respect to moving muktzah, the body of the lamp is muktzah. However, the upper portion of the something, top and inner cylinder, is a separate part and it's kli heter, whose purpose is to shade the light. When light is desired, one turns it to expose the light.
Cool.
Oh, like this, right?
Like a window shade.
Yeah, that's not like a window shade. It basically is a window shade. It's pretty solid, I must say. It just comes out.
Do you need the...
Is it bothering you?
The fire. Do you need the candle?
Eventually.
Not now, though.
No. You want me to put it out?
Take it off?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would you turn the base so we could see it also?
There, now it's off. Now it's on.
Turn it without touching the base.
I can do it.
You're saying it's permissible to use it on top to turn it?
Yes.
Oh, it's clearly permissible to turn it.
Okay.
Oh, you can't use the clap off, huh?
Right. The question is, okay, this
you can't use the switch.
I can't do. So everybody knows, right? But can I do this?
No, you can't.
I didn't say anything. All I'm reading is kosher lamb propaganda. I know what it says. You believe everything you read?
No.
I think there's anything you've learned in this class. You can't believe everything you read. You have to scrutinize. Let's see. So he says, all is called a kli heter, but one should be careful when turning the top not to move the base of the lamp. So I've already discovered that the proper moving is lift, turn, set. It's pretty solid, I must say. What's it made out of? Seems like a piece of wood, no?
Wood.
This is a $30 piece of equipment, I would say. No, not bad. Okay. However, touching or holding the bottom of the lamp without moving it is also permitted. You could touch it, you could hold it. As you remember we said, even if you hold the things on muktzah, nonetheless, you could certainly hold it. You could certainly hold it or touch it without moving it. You could touch a car. The question is, can I turn it? Can I move it? Let's not jump to conclusions. Okay. And if you turn to the, you're on page two. Twisting the shade to turn kosher lamp quote off or on. All authorities would permit twisting the shade on Shabbos. It is similar to opening or closing a closet or.
Where there's a light burning inside.
It is similar to opening a closet in which there is a light burning inside. This is even the case where shades form part of the lamp. Rabbi Neuwirth writes explicitly in Shmir Shabbos, question. A shade which is made to direct the light or to cover it up altogether may be adjusted on Shabbos, even if it is made in such a way that it forms part of the lamp. So you say, it's lamp muktzah, but the shade, especially here, is made separately. So you're allowed to turn it off and turn it on. It's a neat, nifty little contraption. Okay, very, very nice.
I can read my Harry Potter now.
What?
I can read my Harry Potter book.
Oh, in the case of the coaster lamp, the shade is not part of the lamp. It is a separate piece entirely, and it's also an energy-saving bulb. Now, it's also very interesting to note, it's very interesting, that what kind of bulb they use, the fluorescent.
It's a fluorescent.
Right. Why do they use a fluorescent?
So you don't set it on fire.
Is so?
Because if you put anything larger than 13 of that wattage, they don't guarantee it as far as safety. And you shouldn't put an incandescent in there at all.
Right. Because they say specifically because of fire.
Yeah. No, it gives the heat that it gives off. The whole thing about doing that.
You have to do also when you wouldn't hear enclosing it in there.
Listen, it's very interesting. The coaster lamp is made only to accept a compact fluorescent bulb. Since there is no filament, there is nothing that is burning. Steve was sure, by the way, that it's because of fire. It actually has nothing to do with fire. It's completely halachic.
No, but they also, on their site, they have a thing that talks about the heat.
Right. You could make this out of metal and it wouldn't burn.
But you could get bigger ones of that fluorescent. That
right.
So they say don't use larger than 13.
Because when you enclose it, it's
20 some odd that replace 16 replaces a 60 watt.
Uh-huh.
How much replaces a 75? You get all different, so you don't want to go over 13. In its wattage.
Shit, this is great. But this is what they say, though. It's a very interesting thing. Since there was no filament, there was nothing that is burning. I'm going to explain to you this entire thing. So, some authorities do not consider it to be a lamp, but rather an electric appliance which may be moved as long as the plug is not inadvertently removed from the wall socket. Does everybody understand what they just said?
Yeah. So if it can be moved, why can't you move the whole thing then?
They just said that. You could. Correct.
But then why is it
what?
I put just at the bottom part is
mm-hmm. I didn't say that.
They did. Someone else changed their mind.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Everybody understand what just happened?
Yeah.
Somebody invented a coaster lamp and then put in a light bulb that renders the whole thing not muksa.
If that's the case, why do you say that thing over there is coaster?
This?
Yeah.
Who says it is?
You just said that that's a
tray. I didn't say anything. I just said this is a kosher lamp. This is a tray for lamp.
No. Then if I put a fluorescent bulb in there, it's not tray anymore.
What if you don't put a fluorescent bulb in there?
Still okay, I would think.
No, but you've got an incandescent lamp. You're going by... Well, I'm just using these things.
So I'm just trying to point out to you, I mean, when you read, did you notice that in their literature? You didn't?
No,
you did notice
that?
Okay. So in any event, consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Thank you. For a ruling about moving the lamp on Shabbat. Okay, so I'm going to, what we have to understand is what in the world is going on. You see something like this, it's in the Jewish news, it's in, it's on the internet, everybody's sending it around. Did Mrs. Barr waste her money? Certainly not.
Not as far as I'm concerned.
She likes it.
I already
heard
it.
Okay.
This rabbi told him, he says, I'm looking into it.
Right.
I did say that, didn't
right.
I? Did I call it a nifty idea or something like that?
Nifty idea.
We laughed about that.
Okay. Okay. Yom Tov, we'll talk about Yom Tov later. So what are the issues? What's really going on? What are the issues? Why would it be muksa? Why would it be muksa? When I'm done with you today, you'll hopefully have a greater understanding of what the issues of the kosher lamp really are and whether it's actually necessary at all.
I think it's a hetzer waiting to be
ushered. It's a what?
It's a hetzer waiting to be ushered. No, it'll probably be ushered in Detroit and allow it online.
The water we said was usher in New York and Mutter in Detroit.
Pardon me?
The water we said was usher in Detroit and Mutter in New York.
No, it's
opposite
of that.
Okay. Right. Usher in New York and Mutter in Detroit.
Yeah.
Says the Mishnah in Shabbos. This is the third Mishnah in Shabbos, the Homosecta. Lo yecheh chayat b'machtov samuch l'chashecha. Right, the tailor should not, you know where he used to keep his needles? Right. So he should not go out when it's getting dark in the afternoon, late afternoon, with his needle in his lapel. Why not?
He's
carrying, and he might forget. Obvious. Shema yishkach v'yetzeh, maybe he'll forget and take it up, and walk out with it. V'lo ha'v'lav lar b'kul musho. And the scribe cannot go out with his pen. I guess he was sticking it in his ear or in his hat or something, I don't know. Velo yifale et kelav, V'lo yikra l'or haner. And one does not search his garments, nor read by the light of the lamp on Shabbos. Everybody got that? You all grew up, your parents told you, do not read by the light of the lamp on Shabbos. They didn't tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mishnah on Shabbos. It's the meaning of the Mishnah. What does it mean?
Because
look at the God. See?
Isn't that by the Shabbos?
Look at
Shabbos candle.
What?
Referring to the light, the Shabbos candle.
Why? Why?
I don't know if I knew you the reason why, but I think I knew you're not supposed to. Because you might move it to make get better light.
You beat ahead.
I know. I didn't touch it.
Here's the thing. You're confusing Chanukah licht and Shabbos licht. Chanukah licht you're not allowed to benefit from. Shabbos licht are there specifically for you to benefit from. We had a brownout this past Friday night. So yeah, did you?
In your neighborhood?
Am I black?
You were across the street.
I'm lucky it was such a cool, it was a beautiful night. Imagine if it was 90 degrees. So our lights are going on and off and on and off.
Oh, cool.
So we enjoyed our candlelight ambiance. Right? But what was very interesting was, so this is the Kahati, one does not search his garments or read by the vessel. During the time of the Mishnah, the lamp was a vessel in which a person put a wick and oil. The Mishnah teaches that a person may not search his garments, i.e. remove light from them. It means to flick off all the lights on your garments. Okay? Or read by the light of a lamp on Shabbat. And similarly, a person may not read by the light of the lamp, for we fear that the light may dim, and he will tip the lamp to bring the oil to the wick. Obviously, that was very common. How did people read? They took a lamp and they put it right next to them. So what would happen would be, and invariably, as the oil burnt down, right, they would tip it to get better oil into the, you know, into the fire to get it to light better. And you're not allowed to do that. That's clearly an issue to Raisa. So the Rabbanan said, it's a fascinating thing. You're not allowed to read by the light of the lamp on Shabbos. How long did they use those lamps for historically? Gene, any idea?
Oil lamps?
Mm-hmm.
Until the century ago.
That means for the past, think about this, 1700 years, maybe even more, you were not permitted to read on Friday night. Think about how we enjoy Shabbos. I really wanted to bring this to you because it's really passing the halacha, clearly. How we enjoy Shabbos and the things that we do on Shabbos. And the Jews, I mean, what would you do on a long Friday night?
Talk to people in the house.
You snooze. Right, but can you imagine, you know, the Rabbanon not learning? You know, the Rambam lived in 1200 with an oil lamp. So, what did the Rambam do Friday night? You think he played Parcheesi?
Yes. You allowed to play Parcheesi by the
oil. Oh, no. Right.
No, but what about the Balkoi? He couldn't.
What was he doing? What was Balkoi doing?
He was going over the center.
They talk about that. Not really.
By the light of a lamp.
He better know beforehand.
But what about by a candle?
Ah, so that's a good question. Not the same thing. I was going to show you. But let's look on.
And isn't that what you're calling that light as a lamp with oil in the wick as a candle?
What kind of candle?
No, it's a lamp.
They had a lamp. What kind of? The question really is, what kinds of candles did they have? How did they make candles?
They really have candles.
Oh, sir. Right. What do they have? It's important. Uh huh. Right.
Shaped as a candle.
What was it? It was like black.
A mound. A mound of talent.
Mm-hmm.
With a wick in it. The candles didn't come in until almost the Renaissance.
How did they burn?
How did they burn them?
How did tallow burn?
Was it clean
or smelly? It was smelly. Yeah. Plus, not only that,
it flickered.
It didn't burn well. So you'd have to fill with it in order to get it to burn right. Okay, says the Rambam. This is what the Rambam says. Ain told in the Or Haner. Relo kor in the Or Haner. You're not allowed to flick off the light, and you're not allowed to read to the light of the lamp. Afilu gavoa shekob. Even if you put it two stories high, you can't reach it. The Rambam said, lo plug. Because if you're allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do that at all. Now, if you do asher abatim zel gavzeh v'aner v'elyon, not 10 apartments on top of another, and the ner is on top, lo yikra v'lo yafla l'ora b'tachtona, shema yishkach v'yate. Maybe you'll forget, and you're going to lean, because that's what they would do. V'im hayishnayim korim v'inyan echad, but if two guys were reading from the same book, mutarim. Then they're allowed to. So, if you built in a safeguard to prevent yourself, so how did the Rambam learn?
Somebody else.
So there you go. It had to be. But it's just interesting how, you know, like when you would learn these things, this was halacha l'maisa for them. And for us...
So it wasn't the reading. Wasn't
you've
it?
Never even heard of this halacha, right? Anybody ever heard of this halacha?
I mean, it's only the...
Just reading or doing something that requires specific scrutiny.
Right. So that's why if you did it with two people, then one could remind you.
Right, meaning flicking off your lice, you have to look and find the lice and get rid of them. So you need to look carefully.
Right.
There were lice all over the place.
This isn't very school.
I told you I'm watching this Colonial House thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the food that they eat, you know, if you only have a certain amount of food and you've got to get through the winter, mm-hmm. So they were talking about how they were flicking off like these people who are really, you know, Americans, flicking the bugs off the food and eating it. You know why?
That's all they have.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You know why you have lice? This is what it is. How do you get rid of lice? You know, we live in such a sterile, clean environment. You know, that's why we all have allergies, you know.
Yeah.
We all have allergies. Yeah, it's absolutely true. I had an allergist in Connecticut who was a member of my show. We actually gave a whole presentation explaining that the reason why we have allergies is because everybody uses antibacterial everything. And the body is made to build up a certain amount of resistance to bacteria. And if you kill all the bacteria, then you're going to pay for it later on.
It's like
Orson Welles, the attack of the world, you know.
Yeah.
They also know how did those monsters die? Because they got the bacteria.
Really?
But a
chacham.
They have no defenses for it.
Okay. So just look at the Shulchan Aruch. I'll share with you the Shulchan Aruch. Dvarim HaAsurim. Oh yeah, they said that 90% of the Indians died from European diseases that they had no resistance to. 90% it killed off.
So these smallpox, they used to give them blankets that people who were infected with.
On purpose?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's gross. Okay.
We need some American.
Dvarim HaAsurim. Lasos Or HaNer B'Shabbos. Things are not. This is Simon Reish Ayin Hay. Right, 275. A similar Shulchan Aruch. Things are not allowed to do to light to the light of the candle on Shabbos. Ein Poland, Pirish says the Ramah. Va'eres Akinim Avgadim. Flick your lice. Ve'ein Koring B'Sefer Leor Haner. Va'afilo Ein Amotzi B'Piv. Even if you're not pronouncing the words, why Shema Yate, etc. etc. The halacha is really the same. I just wanted to point out to you, they were not permitted to read. Unless you had a partner reading with you on Shabbos on Friday night. It's something that
That's not now, right?
What?
That's not now.
No. We'll talk about it now in a second. So look, he says, look at the Shulchan Aruch. Read on a little bit. Even if it's 10 amos high, you can't touch it. It's called a low plug. Low plug means there's no distinction made. Umitam zeh, yesh le'esor afilu hu ba'ashashis. Even if it's stuck in the wall. Let's see, look at the end of Siman Asif Aleph. V'chein b'ner shel shava. The same holds true with a
Shabbos light.
Wax candle. Same thing. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah has a whole long thing. Skip to the end of the three lines from the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah. See where it says Umikom Makom in the middle of the line? The Umikom Makom in the middle of the line in the Mishnah Berurah. When we call Makram, she brings a whole machlok is an argument about what do we apply to candles or don't we apply to candles and what's the problem? Because Makram nearly it seems to me that the Nerot HaTovim Shalanu are good candles. Shekorim Starin. Anybody heard that Yiddish term? Starin? Starin? No? Starin? Or maybe it's a Polish term. Muta Likros Lifnehem Lekuli Amav. Everybody says you can do that. To Lo Shayach Shema Yate. The only time where you're going to do it is if it's something you do normally and during the week. Starin in our candles, you're doing the ancient halachah. Nobody ever like. If we have a candle, that's what I lit the candle for. You never lean it one way or the other. It lights. It burns beautifully. It's made to burn. Like the candles they had back then did not burn well. So you bought the cheapo candles. You know nowadays nobody buys. There's no quality in candles. You know, if you want to go to, you know, the Bath and Body Works and buy an $80 candle, fine.
Why then can't we take aspirin?
Why can't you what?
Why can't we take aspirin? If he's saying that the situation doesn't hold anymore, so we can do it, Why can't we take aspirin on Shabbos? We're not grinding this stuff.
What was Xavier with the Rabbanon? What was Xavier with the Rabbanon?
To
the Xavier of the Rabbanon was any milei de refua. It was a broad Xavier. When it came to health, taking aspirin, the Rabbanon didn't say you're not allowed to crush medicine. The Rabbanon said you're not allowed to do acts of refuah, acts of healing on Shabbos. So therefore, we're very constrained by that zera. Here, the Rabbanon said clearly, "V'lo yikra la'or haner." Ner, clearly in this context, is a lamp. That was the nature of the zera. So the question is, do we broaden that zera or not? When I was doing my research this morning, I saw a tshuva of Rabbi Avadia Yosef. Somebody said, "Are you allowed to read Bible light of electric?" So Rabbi Avadia said, that wouldn't be applying a gzeira, that would be expanding a gzeira. And we don't make new gzeiras today.
That's
but it was considered.
You were allowed to take aspirin, no yogurt.
Yeah, but he's asking certain levels of no yogurt. We don't want to get into that. Mm-hmm. So look at our page number two. Page two. Daf Dek. Reading by the light of a lamp. This is from Rabbi Simcha Bonham Cohen, the Shabbos Home, Volume 2. This can be donated by the Cohen. Thank you. The Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos states, "Layukal or haner, one may not read from a text by the light of a lamp. This is a rabbinic prohibition enacted because the oil of the lamp will frequently draw away from the wick, and thereby causing the light to grow dim. This is rectified by tilting the lamp so that the oil will move towards the wick. The sages fear that one reading with a lamp would, on Shabbos, would unthinkingly tilt the lamp to obtain more light, thereby violating the malacha of mavir, kindling. They therefore forbade the person to read by the light of an oil lamp. This prohibition applies even if the lamp is out of the person's reach, i.e. while standing on a high place." To what the prohibition applies? The prohibition applies to all types of oil that are being used in a lamp. It does not apply to candles, for it is never necessary to adjust candles while they are burning. Who said that? What did we just see that? In the Mishnah Berurah. Good. For the same reason, the prohibition does not apply to electric lights. Even if the lights can be raised or lowered with a rheostat, Eddie, what's a rheostat? It is still permissible to read by the...
They're kosher, by the way.
What? Oh, yeah. Only on Yom Kippur. Okay. It is still permissible to read by their light. This is because electric lights maintain a steady light without being adjusted. In the case of an oil lamp, by contrast, the light is maintained only by adjusting the flame. It is therefore forbidden for use. Prohibition nowadays. Since nowadays all houses have electric lights, this prohibition has almost no practical application. However, the lights happen to be on, it is forbidden to read by light in an oil lamp. Okay, so when do you find this? There's a whole symbol in the Shulchan Aruch, and we say today it doesn't apply, so just you should all be happy. Thank your lucky stars for electricity and developments in technology and kosher lamp. Kosher lamp. Okay, so I wanted to share with you just some of those halachas, mostly because it gives me an appreciation for the way we live our lives as opposed to the way Jews lived their lives for so many years. Think about just the abject poverty of, you know, you have this oil wick, and you have to sort of, and they had to choose when they were gonna use it, when they weren't, because it was expensive. You know, and Friday night it was a big deal that Chachamim ordered you to light candles, because otherwise most people would not have. And it was an expense. When's the last time any of us, you know, really thought, well, can I afford the candles? You know, it's just a different way of life. We have to appreciate that. Okay.
But there was a time when, for Shabbos, you didn't have candles anyway. You had oil lamps,
mm-hmm.
or towels.
That's what they lit.
So you weren't allowed to use the light at the dinner
table?
Not to read.
Not to read or do anything that would require scrutiny, that you would need better light. Okay?
There are problems there, though. What if you needed the light to bench?
Yeah, bench by heart.
You have to bench by heart.
Everybody, who knew how to read anyway?
Well, if you're eating fish.
Honestly, who knew how to read?
Take the bones out.
What's the reason why you have Chazar Hashanah? Oh, taking the bones out. Don't get me started. What's the reason why you have Chazar Hashanah? Anybody know why you have Chazar Hashanah?
Yes.
Because people couldn't read.
Because nobody knew davening.
Right.
You know how to read, nobody knew davening. The reason we bench with a mezuman mostly is the mezuman. You have a leader, and people are listening and being yoked. Mm-hmm. Somebody knew the benching, and nobody else did. Good.
And you didn't have benchers.
Right? But benchers.
Right, you didn't have
benchers.
Even if you
had it,
even if you could read, I mean, who would have it? You're going to bring out the scroll? You know? You know, you take this kind of book for granted. Some of them have this much information in their library. Can you? How long would it take you to print this by hand? You know, even when the printing press was invented, certainly printed reading material didn't become popular. It was a rich man's thing, you know. It was only for the rich. When did it become that normal people could afford books? Especially it wasn't until the 20th century.
No, the line of sight.
Maybe late 19th century. Line of sight, right? What's his name? American Revolution already. They were printing. They were printing newspapers.
Franklin,
right?
Yeah. Paul Richard Almanac.
What?
Paul Richard Almanac was written by Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, but he was a newspaper printer well before that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying if that's when it became normal. Yeah, 1776, we're talking about.
Right, okay.
And printing became affordable.
Right, and how many Jews could afford, and who bought these newspapers?
The common people
did?
Yeah, for penny, you know, penny press or whatever.
Oh, maybe you're right, yeah, okay. Okay, let's turn now, what about the kosher land? Okay, so now we know that I can read, now I know, and you didn't even notice this issue, but now I know that I can read by the light of a lamp on Shabbos.
Whew!
Right, now you can all breathe a sigh of relief. Right, so that is permitted according to everybody. But what about the kosher lamb? What are the issues regarding the kosher lamb? Why would the kosher lamb be muktzah? Why would the kosher lamb be muktzah? What's the problem with the kosher lamb? Remember we talked about different types of muktzah.
What? What if sitting on?
All right. Is this tape player muktzah? On Shabbos.
It's not something you're going to use on Shabbos. It's not necessary.
You can use it as a paperweight.
Could I use it as a paperweight?
Yes.
Yes. Why? No, even if I don't designate it. Could I use it as paperweight?
Because it's not the what it's meant for.
Right. What about this sterno fuel? Right. Sterno fuel is muktzah. It's really muktzah, machmas asma. It's fuel. It's not. You wouldn't use it as a paperweight. It's not a kli. It's not a utensil. Right? So this sterno fuel, you could not use as a paperweight. Remember, this is muktzah, machmas asma. I know it's very confusing. We've learned it. We went through it once, but... And this is called, do you remember what this is called?
Why would the lamp, why would the oil lamp be muktzah
then? We'll talk about it. Well, who said it is muktzah? We said you couldn't read, well, one second. Remember, okay, and this is called a kli shemalach tov iser. Remember, a kli whose normal use is for a prohibited reason, but it's permitted l'tzorach gufo or l'tzorach makomo. It's permitted for its gufo, for itself, or for its place, for its makomo. Okay, so this is a kli shemalach tov iser. If I wanted to use a paperweight, I would be permitted to do so. You were asking me something?
Yeah, the oil lamp. Why did they, as opposed to saying you can't read by it,
yeah,
for fear that they might tilt it, why did they just say it's muktzah and then you wouldn't have to worry about catching it?
It is muktzah.
So why
you can't read by the light?
Right, for fear that you might tilt it to get a better light. But if it's muktzah, you're not going to. You're not likely to do it.
Correct.
The whole point is, even if we made it muktzah, sometimes behaviors are so ingrained that intuitively, you know, if I put a clicker in your hand, I say, well, but it's usher to touch the buttons. Right? What are you going to do?
Well, if there's nothing there, what difference does it make?
Instinctively, you're going to press a button, you know? Right, so there were certain behaviors that are so intuitive, that are so ingrained, that the allowed, even if it was muktzah, to use that item, you would violate the malacha. So that's why they said it was usher. Okay? What about the lamp itself? What is the nature of a lamp? What is the nature of a candle? Yeah, now I'm going to end my candle again. Okay? Let's talk about this candle. The candle itself, is it muktzah? Here's my candle.
You know, we can carry this to extremes.
No, I'm not talking about extremes.
No. Without the candle, you might blow out too.
No, is the candle muktzah? Can I move? Is the candle, let's say, the candle, is it a kli shemalach tov iser, or is it a different type of muktzah?
You can't move it
at all. What if I needed it somewhere else?
It's not a Shabbos lamp, you can.
If it's not a Shabbos lamp,
yeah,
I can move it. Yeah. Meaning only this one I can't move, but this candle I could?
I'm talking about Shabbos lit.
No. Yeah. When it's still lit, let's say when it's still lit.
Is that,
can I do this?
No.
It's lit for anything.
No.
No, you're absolutely not permitted to move it. What's the simplest reason why you would not be permitted to move it?
Because it might go out.
Yeah. Right. So that the simplest reason to think about why it would be not permitted to move it is because it might go out. Very simple reason. If it might go out, right, then it's muktzah machmas, what's called iser, because the moving it, the handling of it, sometimes the handling of a certain item Right. Let's say, for example, a saturated sponge. Can you pick up a saturated sponge?
No.
No, because the handling of that item is going to involve an issur. So the same thing might be true for a lamp. So let me give you a different reason why the candle would be issur. This is a little tricky. So look at the Gemara. What? Look at the Gemara on page 2, the source number 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Gemara says, "Rami le Abaye le Rav Yosef." There's in the middle of the Gemara. I can't. I don't want to explain the whole or all the vagaries of the Gemara, but I will just read a few parts. Ni Amar Rav Shimon. Did Rav Shimon say, "Kavta muter le Taltala"? Did he say that if a candle was blown out, then you can then move it? Let's say the candle's blown out, right? So everybody agrees I can't move it now. What if I can I move it now if it's out? Candle blows out. Right. Can I move it on Shabbos?
No.
So the Gemara says implies at the end of the line, kavta in, lo kavta lo. That means that if it blows out, Rav Shimon says you can move it. But if it's not blown out, if it's still lit, then you're not allowed to move it. My taima, why? Dilma, maybe, like Eddie said, but how they did not realize when you're moving it, kavta. It'll blow out. Right? So I'm afraid. I'm afraid that when I handle my candle, it rhymes. That's like a rap. When I handle my candle, right? When I handle my candle and I'm moving it, it's going to go out. Which is a legitimate fear, especially when the windows were not so good, whatever. Okay?
Or if it's shielded.
Or, give me a better example.
Covered completely.
Totally covered. Like?
The Shabbos.
Well, we'll see where the Shabbos is not a good example. We're going to see. Okay? Okay?
Can you move it if it's
so it's interesting, by the way. So the Gemara goes on to say that's not possible if Shimon holds that because if Shimon holds something called the Davar She'ini Miskar then his Mutter. We don't pass it this way, but if Shimon said that if I was moving something and I inadvertently put out the candle, that's not Aser. That's what he held. Okay? So look at the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, she was his Ella Amar Rava. The last line, Ella Amar Rava. Ella Amar Rava, Hanach Lener Shemen Upshila. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me about a candle, the oil, and the wick. Why? Hoil Dinashin Bashis Ledavar Ha'asur. This candle, the wick, the oil, and the candle, your imaginary oil, is a Bashis Ledavar Ha'asur. Remember we learned that? A Bashis means it's a base for something that's mukta. And a base for something that's muktzah is really muktzah on Shabbos. Can't be moved. Remember we learned about your Shabbos table, you didn't put your candles on Friday night, you didn't put any bread down, you can't move the table. So somehow this candle is a base for something that's aser, that's really muktzah. That's totally, completely muktzah. What is totally and completely muktzah in this candle? What is the wick, the oil, and the candle a base for?
The flame.
Look at Rashi. The davar ha'asur. See the Rashi in the bottom? He says, Lissal Hevet. For the flame. Did the Chihai Mukcha, in this Mukcha, Moda Rav Shimon Shakli Tafel Lissal Hevet, Ba'oda Blo. That when the flame is there, this candle is negated by the flame. The flame is Mukcha, just like this fuel is Mukcha, real Mukcha. So therefore, when there's a flame there, you can't move it at all. It cannot be moved, no matter what you do. And this is brought down the halacha. This rule is brought down the halacha that the flame itself is muktzah. So, assuming first of all you can't move it for sure because you might bring it. You might cause it to go out for sure. But this flame is also muktzah because the candle is also muktzah because of the flame itself. What's the distinction? What would be the difference? What would happen if I had an example of a flame that I knew would never go out, that I'm guaranteed wouldn't go out? Can somebody give me an example of a flame that guaranteed won't go out? Those might go out, but they'll go back on. Yeah.
Like eternal light, like I don't know, the whole cross museum or something. Eternal lamp.
More popular.
Oh. A gas flame?
No. Come on. This is so obvious. It's like not hitting in the face.
Pilot
light. Nah.
Flesh.
Mm-mm.
A fire?
You're getting closer. A light bulb.
Oh.
What about a light bulb?
It'll go out if you touch the switch.
It'll go out eventually and burn out. Right?
What is the din? Well, let's, first of all, turn to page 3.
I don't have it.
Oh. I'm going to take page 3. First take page 3 and then turn to it. What about a lipo? So let's first see the halacha. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Ayin Tesh, that's 279, Shimon 279. See where it says on the top of page 3? Ner shi liku bo ba'oso Shabbos. A candle. Okay, I had a candle on Shabbos, and it's blown out. Now you can relax. My candle is out. Can I move that candle? Af al pi shakaba asur l'taltalo. Even though it went out, it's asur l'taltalo. V'chein motor Hashem shebener, the extra oil, is asur l'taltalo u'l'shabi menuos for Shabbos. You can't benefit from it on Shabbos. Bet, ner zeh she'amanu she'asur l'taltalo, this candle that we said you can't move, afilu l'tzorech gufo u'l'tzorech mekomo asur. Not even, so it's not like my recorder. It's usher. You can't move it at all.
Why?
Because, as we look at the Mishnah Berurah, begins apisha kaba, v'hainu afilo lo nisha bo shemen klal, even if there's no oil in it. He says v'hatam. See where it says the second line v'hatam. The reason is the kevan debein hashmashas ayah asur betiltul. Since it became forbidden to move as soon as it got dark on Shabbos night, on Friday night. Why? Lefi shenasa haner v'hashemen v'haptila. Basis lishal hevet. See those words? Exactly from the Gemara. The ner, the candle, the light, the lamp, and the oil, and the wick became a basis, a base for the flame. Shehudavar ha'asur betiltul. The flame itself is mukta. Since it became mukta, as soon as Shabbos came in, this candle may not be moved for the entirety of Shabbos.
Even without the flame, the whole thing still remains. What about the reason? What about those things that were on your table that then on Shabbos you were allowed to move them off? Because then, remember, we learned different types of moving. There's moving, direct moving, and remember we also learned there's secondary moving. Remember, I learned that secondary moving was permitted.
Whereas direct moving would be not. And also remember with the shinoi would be sometimes submitted and sometimes
so
not.
So therefore, remember
they tell you, put it on a tray. If I put something else on the tray, which was more significant than my leichter. People don't know that. It has to be more significant than the leichter.
Such as?
A whole challah. Right, because I want to move it myself.
Wait, you got a dinner table. Okay? You got a dinner table and you light the Shabbos candles. The Shabbos candles, which are pretty important for Shabbos.
Yeah.
Would you not say that?
Yes.
All right. And then you're going to eat Friday night. So you put your Shabbos, your challahs on there.
On the tray or on the table?
Well, on the tray.
Before you light.
Yes.
All right, and then you're going to go and eat your Shabbos challahs.
Right.
And soon you're going to make the motzi on it.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So then you allow to, your candles are still going to be burning.
While you eat your challahs.
While you're eating your challahs.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So how in the world can you, when those candles go out, what, 45 minutes later?
2 hours later.
60 minutes?
Two hours later. I'll give you 3.
So then how can you leave it then?
What? Because the question is, when Shabbos came in, what was the status of the tray upon which the candles were resting? Does the tray become a basis ledavar ha'asur? Does the tray become a base for only something that's forbidden when Shabbos enters? Or is it a base for something which is forbidden and permitted at the same time?
It's a base for both.
Ah, exactly my point. So even though you later removed the challah, when Shabbos entered and it established its status of what it was going to be, it was a base for both.
So it's a base for both.
Good. Perfect.
And one of those bolts was mukta.
But that's exactly the point. In order to establish something to become a basis, it has to be designated.
Not a thing supersedes.
It has to be. No, it doesn't supersede. You can't share. It has to be.
It has something else on it.
Correct. The base, in order to become a basis, it has to be a designated base. Let's say this was. Eddie, let's say this was a candle stand.
How can it cost
let's say,
hours?
The chalasan mukta.
When I take, it's a sound that a base that has mukta on it.
But this is not my topic. But let's say this is a candle stand, right? So this candle stand, when I put the candle on it, it's a base that's designated to this candle. So even if the candle gets knocked off, the base is still a candle base for all of Shabbos, and I can't do anything about that. But if I have a cherry sterno base, right? And the cherries are as important as the sterno, okay? So then when Shabbos enters, what is my foil?
It's a
basis. It's a basis for what? It's a base for what?
For
the cherries and sterno. You understand what I'm saying?
Sterno is
muksa, but cherries are not. So therefore, the base doesn't become only set solely for the sterno. It's for both. So therefore, the base doesn't become usher, and I can then lift up the base. The base is not muksa. And therefore, I can carry my sterno away without actually handling it directly. Remember, we call that tiltul min hatzad, one of the permissible ways of moving things. Okay, fine. Back to the kosher then. And these are very, very confusing halakhos. That's okay. It's very confusing. Okay, so what about...
Before Shabbos?
Yes. You must have something mutter on there before Shabbos. Otherwise, you can't move it. Okay, you can't move the whole table, actually.
If you have a big challah on that base and you happen to swoosh by the candle and you put it out, then that's not doing you any good either.
Well, be careful. Okay. I've got my light bulb, my lamp. What is the status of my light bulb? I mean, you have to have an Edisonian here, but when you run electricity through that filament, what is it? Is it a small fire?
No.
What?
Yeah, it is actually.
I think the question is, if there are people who say that you can't transmit from an electric light, because...
Well, we're possibly you can.
Hmm?
You can.
But there are those who possibly that you can't.
You probably shouldn't, but if you're in the hospital, you need to, you certainly can. Absolutely. When we go to the hospitals on Fridays, we give out these Shabbos lamps. Oh, I don't have it, sure. You know, the little, but it has to be the ones with the filament, not a fluorescent. You know? Okay? So let's look at electric lights. Interesting enough. An electric lamp which is switched off is considered a klisha malach le'isur and may be moved l'tzarech gufa umakoma. If it was off before Shabbos, it's off. So then I can move it, right? I can move it for its own sake because I need it. That's the klisha malach le'isur. I'm reading, by the way, from this book, from the Muksa book from Rabbi Baden. It's a very well-known Muksa book. An electric lamp which is switched on is likened by some poskim to a lit oil lamp and thus has the following rules. Now, what does that mean, it's a lit oil lamp? What is the Muksa part of a lit oil lamp?
The flame.
The flame. Okay, an electric lamp that is lit on is on. It's only because it has a flame. Okay, so therefore, electric lamp which is switched on. By the way, you notice how he says it. Which side is he taking immediately? An electric lamp which is switched on is likened by some poskim to a lit oil lamp. It's likened by other poskim to what? Well, if some poskim liken it to a lit oil lamp, what do other poskim liken it to?
Not an oil lamp.
Meaning what? What would be the opposite?
You're allowed to.
To liken it to a tape recorder. You understand? Those are two choices. Either it's mukta or it's a kli shemalachto le'isser. Those are your two options. So he says, since it's likened by some poskim, and we're going to see which poskim, to an oil lamp, it has the following rules. An electric light which is switched on may not be moved. This light, according to those poskim, may not be moved. I can't do this on Shabbos, and why would I want to do it? Well, it's over here, now I want to put it over here. That would be if I said it's a klisha malachto le'isser, then I could do this. Want to go to sleep? Want to read? Want to go to sleep? Want to read? Okay? But if it's like a lamp itself, then I can't do that because the filament is what's asher. Two, if the light was on during Ben Hashmasos, the lamp may not be moved all Shabbos. Three, the table or other supporting bases become a basis, remember that term, to the light. Okay, and let's skip. So where does he get all this from? You see where it says, one, electric light which is switched on may not be moved. 15, line 15. Very interesting, very interesting. See where it says in the footnote 15? Kach shamati ne'esh hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein shlita. Okay, by the way, when did he write this? And how do you know?
Before he died.
Because he wrote Shlita. And then the book, he's got a bunch of times he asked that bunch of questions. Okay? So look at page 4. Turn over. In the top. She'ela ha'i mutar letaltel ner electri. Listen to Rav Moshe's question. Can you move an electric lamp? Tshuva. Me'ikar hadin mutar. Meaning, according to the law,
essentially,
yes. Achein, kevan diyesh or shel ner de'asa betiltul, since with a candle it would be prohibited, yesh le'esor gam b'ner elektri kevan de'asi le'achlufe. Since you can't move a candle, therefore you also cannot move an electric lamp, because maybe you're going to mix up the two.
How can you confuse an electric lamp?
How could Rav Moshe Feinstein have said such a thing?
Because they're not
what? I mean, that's the question. How could Rav Moshe Feinstein have said such a thing? And there's a very straightforward, simple answer to this question. Because Rav Moshe still had lived in a time when people used candles to walk around. Not everybody had electric lamps. Especially, he grew up, he was a rav in Russia before he became a rav in New York City. So for him, it was possible, asvila achlufe, right? For anybody today, I mean, I would never touch my candle. My Shabbos candles, they're there for show. It's a prop. Right? Nobody reads about a Shabbos candle.
Let your lights go out.
Even if you like to, I'm not going to read by that. It's too dark. Who could read to that? So very, very interesting. Rav Moshe says the ikar hadin, it's a klisim lachton iser, but you're not allowed to move the lamp. Why? Because I'm afraid you're going to mix it up. You're going to switch it. Very interesting. Now he also quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He seems to imply that Rav Shlomo Zalman said, and I'm not going to go into the vagaries of it. I'm going to stand. Oh, running out of time. Oh well. That Rav Moshe said. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, said that it was not permitted also. He quotes from the Shmir Shabbos, he's like, reads into, and I'm not going to go into it, but if you look in the Tzitz Eliezer, he writes the following. He's talking about hearing aids in the Tzitz Eliezer. Can you use hearing aids on Shabbos or not? And most Polskim Paskin, you certainly can. So look what he says in the second paragraph of the Tzitz Eliezer, in the bottom page 4. B'gizola mizos, more than this, Ra'iti b'sefer Ma'orei Ha'esh, in the book of Ma'orei Ha'esh, the Yedidi Gaon Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Shlita, the Perek Beis. Hu Yosef Gamkin al Meducha Zel Shel Hasberes Gemara. He also set down this Gemara's explanation, the Ner Shem Nupsila Havalei Basis Shel Shel Hevet, that the candle is a basis for the flame. The Mikol Makom Shel Hevet Asmo Mai Kain Mechashi Muksa. Why should the flame itself be Muksa? He's trying to figure it out. Umarich Bazen, he's got a long essay about this. And he concludes, in electric lights, he says, because of the burning of the filament, kli gamor, it's a utensil, the lo chashiv muktzah, and the light itself is not muktzah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote, you are certainly permitted to move lamps on Shabbos. Move it away. It's a chlisim lachton iser. Have fun. Up, back, up, back. No problem whatsoever. Because the filament is not like a flame, but it's a kli. So here's the interesting thing. I showed you Rabbi Bodner quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein. So I didn't know what to do. How do we pass him today? So I call Rabbi First in Chicago. Rabbi First in Chicago is a very well-known postdoc, accepted by, the whole world. Knows the Rav First. I called Rav First and I said, what's your deal with the kosher lamp? He said, I'll tell you the truth. Rav Moshe Feinstein said to me, listen to this, Rav Moshe Feinstein said to me that a regular lamp is a klisa malachta l'iseh. And you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. I said, hey, Rabbi Bodner wrote there, Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's usher. He said, I don't know what Rabbi Bodner wrote. He told me it's mutter. So now, Mrs. Barr brought her kosher lamp, which is good. So I'll tell you another kosher lamp. And I've done that on Shabbos.
Uh-oh.
It's the poor man's kosher lamp. Right? On. And. Off. So before they had kosher lamp, I also had a course on that. And I asked him at first, you tell people, he said, yeah, I tell people to move the lamps, they can move the lamps all they want. So you want to hold like those posts, can you want to buy the course on them? That's a little nicer, to be honest with you. It's funny, you know. But are you allowed to move lights on Shabbos, says Rabbi first? Yeah. Now, what's interesting, now what I pointed out to you, now that you pointed out, they use an incandescent bulb, not an electric bulb. So now, since there's no flame at all, right, exactly. Once there's no flame at all, according to everybody, you're allowed to. According to the vast majority of posts, you're allowed to move this light now.
You're allowed to move it and touch the bottom.
Move the bottom, not just touch it. Correct. Why? Because they put
in the bottom, but you're allowed to move it?
No, you can touch it and move it. It's, again, remember, so they took a lamp and they made it extra special, super duper kosher. Because here, I'm doing this, not to move it, right, whatever. But because they put in the light bulb that doesn't have a flame in it, according to everybody, not just, according to everybody, then you're certainly allowed to move the bottom. That's exactly what they write. They write, they write that in the instructions. They write, and this is what they meant. They write, then check in. The kosher lamp is made to accept only a compact fluorescent bulb. Since there is no filament, listen, now you'll understand. Since there is no filament, there is nothing that is burning. So some authorities do not consider it to be a lamp. It's not a shall have it, but rather an electric appliance which may be moved as long as the plug is not inadvertently unplugged.
Well, there is a
plug. Not unplugged. So therefore, they took the kosher lamp and they made this beautiful shade, right? In order so that you can, everybody holds you can do this, but everybody also holds pretty much that you can do this.
But there is a filament.
Yeah,
and no, there's no filament, not really, not a burning filament. The filament doesn't burn. And what Moshe also said, according to Rabbi Hirsch, that you can do this. So now, is it better to be Yotze to hold this? That's certainly better. To buy the kosher lamp, it's also nicer.
I tell you, David would not let me put foil on my lamp.
Why? The foil's going to burn?
I tell you, he wouldn't.
I've done it.
You're not
careful.
You're going to cover this lamp with a piece of cloth that's eventually going to burst.
Oh, that's why I use tinfoil.
Okay.
Right, tinfoil doesn't burn. So now you, hopefully you have a better understanding of what was involved in making this kosher lamp. It was based on a chumrah of not being able to move a regular lamp, which is a valid chumrah, but most people accept, big posts can say you're allowed to move the lamp in general. And in addition to that, it's a chumrah upon a chumrah because in the lamp itself, there isn't even a regular light bulb. So it's a really, 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 really kosher, extra kosher Menahadrin lamp. And everybody should enjoy it on Shabbos. All right, so this concludes our...